The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Well, last week we heard about the grand plans from the government to revitalise Dublin. Even though there's been an increase in Gardaí, the measures still haven't stopped people feeling unsafe in the city. Well, Josh Crosby has been asking shoppers for their views of what they think it's like when they come into the city.
I don't feel safe anymore in town. I actually come in early in the morning. I'm in work. That's why I'm coming in the afternoon. Town has changed. I wouldn't even come in town at night time.
Just out of fear?
Yeah, out of fear.
I feel like, yes, there is an increase in guards, but like it's not deterring the young people. And I know that probably sounds harsh, and it probably is, but I would honestly say I think they need to be a bit more proactive. They go down to Templemore, do all this training, it's brilliant. But like when they're walking around, it's like they're there, but they're not there.
No, I haven't noticed there's much more guards on the streets. Never feel safe coming into the city centre. Work out in Sandymount, and I would be very hard got to come into the city centre the way it is at the moment. I'm just in here now today because of a work event. Other than that, there's no way I'd be in the city centre.
Well, what is it? Is,
you safety. Don't feel safe in the city. Just do not feel safe in the city. Especially around the Stephen's Green area, definitely not. Just since COVID, it's just never come back to the safety levels that I would expect.
Walking around Dublin on a day like this, I do feel safe. I've never really felt much of a threat, but I would still like to see the presence of more Gardaí around.
Have you noticed that in the last couple of months?
I haven't really, and I know, like, because I've heard discussions about that. I've heard that there are more. And even, we're in the city centre now, but even in my own area, apparently there are more out and about, but they never seem to be there when I witness things that you would want the Gardaí to see, and I haven't felt much of a presence, I have to say.
And in town today, now yourself, have you witnessed anything?
But I come into town every Wednesday night and I get the Lewis home, and every week we see an incident in the street. It's amazing when we come out at 9 o'clock.
So that's what Josh Crosby found out when he talked to shoppers in Dublin City Centre. We're joined by Gary Gannon, Social Democrats TD for Dublin Central. Gary, it's hard to walk through Dublin, particularly of an evening or an early morning, without getting that sort of feeling of run down, downtrodden and threatening.
Yeah. I mean, that's the aesthetic of the city at the moment. There is run down. It lacks investment, it lacks a degree, it lacks love, it lacks somebody. Nobody wakes up in the morning, brushes their teeth and thinks of Dublin. I mean, that's the structures of local authority in the absence of being able to devolve powers to them from central government. And within that, there has been plans and press releases for this rejuvenation of Dublin City. And I know we're going to talk about that now in a minute. But I suppose that's what hurts me most about those continued press releases and plans, is because the dogs in the street can see that Dublin needs love and needs investment. But we're getting press release. But 18 months ago, Simon Harris initiated this Dublin City Task Force. David McRedmond, the CEO of Van Post, went off. In fairness, and we've done a good job. He came back with a plan.
And a fairly simple 10-pointer as well.
It was also a very simple 10-pointer. There was nothing particularly radical in it. I mean, lots of these things feature in the development plans for the city going back to 2004. So nothing off the cuff. It was about rejuvenating Dublin, getting more people living on O'Connell Street and the surrounding streets, having more guards on the street, if you could believe such a thing would happen, investing in kind of the cultural assets of the city. All really good things. So my expectation at that point, because I've been pushing for something like this for as long as I've been in the Dáil, I live in Dublin City, literally 5 minutes from the Uilleadh, has been for what is the investment now from the state. And last week, they called a memo went to Cabinet, and I woke up listening to the radio that morning and heard a memo was going to Cabinet. I thought, brilliant, this is it, we'll finally hear how much money is going into this. And it was nothing. Again, a rejuvenation, a rehashing with this idea of a special purpose vehicle for Dublin City Council to confront the dereliction, but no actual money to go into that vehicle, which I just think is absurd.
Now, the special project vehicle, this is our special purpose vehicle. This is the project management office it's that they see as being...
It's a project management office. And I actually think special purpose vehicles do actually have a place.
And did well in Temple Bar, didn't they? Because that's sort of what Temple Bar Properties was.
Temple Bar would have been a bus shelter potentially if it wasn't for the special purpose vehicle that was initiated by Charles Hottie, I believe it was at the time. I think more kind of contemporary examples that I think would be the Ballymun regeneration and rejuvenation of Ballymun. That happened through a special purpose vehicle. But they also happened through, like, show us your money. Like, let's see how much money you're putting in the tin. So special purpose vehicles will need kind of private investment and they'll need state investment. Erste has contributed nothing at the moment.
Now, where do you think that money needs to go?
In the first instance, two places. I think we need to confront dereliction. So we need to confront dereliction and vacancy on O'Connell Street and the surrounding streets. We need to rejuvenate it by getting people opening up. Look, if you walk down O'Connell Street, and I do almost every day, you'll see shops mostly open on the ground level. But if you were to arch your back up, arch your neck up and look up, I mean, nobody is living. I think one person lives on O'Connell Street at the moment. So actually putting a bit of investment to get people living in there, because people bring in their own sense of safety. Having more people around, having more communities around, actually creates a sense of safety of people living there, a sense of kind of communal vigilance that would be there. Separate the vigilantes, that's not what we're talking about. Communal vigilance. But there's nothing there. Obviously, I want more guards on the street, but I do believe there has been more Gardaí put in and around the city centre. So that
how interventionist are they?
They're not interventionist.
You walk through the centre of the city, it is almost impossible not to see hand-to-hand drug deals happening, not to smell or see drugs being taken, and it's very rare that you see the people doing it getting collared.
So the guards have gone into, so the new guards have gone into around Connell Street and around the kind of, what I'm calling the commercial city centre, is they're younger guards. They're kind of straight out of Templemore. They're very raw, they're very inexperienced, and they're not probably going to be that kind of hands-on policing. Now, what they have done is they are, as their presence, they are kind of pushing some of the issues in the antisocial behaviour, the drug deal and the violence that's associated with it. That has been pushed now into the more residential areas of the north inner city and the city centre, and I'm having to deal with that almost on a weekly basis with every community meeting I'm going to, where you're almost containing problems now rather than just seeking to solve them. I do have some sympathy for the guards. There are some issues that the guards are simply never going to be able to solve. I think drug addiction and all the associated issues around that, the guards, we've been dealing with that for four decades now. But I do believe there's some form of a policy now of pushing some issues down the laneways, out of sight. If the tourists don't see it, then it's not a problem. Whether that's like an actual strategy of the guards when they wake up in the morning, I don't believe so. But I do believe that we what people understand, if you get them out of the commercial city centre, that's not going to be a problem. That said, as soon as the shops close, as soon as about 7 or 8 o'clock hits, I mean, the guards are gone. I mean, you can't, a lot of us are still policing the city on overtime.
But one of the things we're getting a lot by text and have been throughout the show is sort of sympathy for the quandary that the guards face, which is that you arrest somebody, you put them into the court system. By virtue of overcrowded prisons, there isn't the space to house them. They're then released fairly quickly. And the lesson they learn is, sure, all you lose is an afternoon if you get done.
Yeah, and look, I think that's a problem that needs to be solved from a couple of different ways. I don't think we're going to be able to lock up people. I don't think we're going to be able to imprison our way out of addiction. I think the vast majority of people are in prison.
Can you imprison your way out of crime, though?
No, you can't. I don't think the evidence is there for that at all. So actually, if you consider at the moment, I think every 6.2 of every 10 people they underwear prisons will reoffend when they come out of it. So we have prisons that I know they're good for prevention and I know they're good for rehabilitation. And I think that's a broader conversation, because obviously the conversation at the moment is about having more prisons. And look, I think we need better prisons. You go into a prison, you shouldn't come out more hardened, more ready to commit crime than when you went in. That actually defeats the purpose of prison in my mind. So there's a broader conversation about that. But what we need to do is actually look at what can we actually do so we can improve the aesthetic of the city. I mean, everyone's familiar with the broken windows concept and all of that, although that does require a lot of social.
But hang on for a minute. This is facile, but if you see somebody who's out riding an enduro bike through the centre of town wearing nothing but a hoodie, where you know that it's probably nicked, but it's definitely being illegally used. If somebody's robbing scooters, if somebody's mugging or assaulting people, if somebody's buying or selling drugs at a medium to high level, surely those need custodial sentences.
They do need custodial sentences. If that person is under the age of 18, they're likely to go to Oberstown. It's going to cost about €500,000 to keep an under 18-year-old in Oberstown for a year. I mean, that's a very significant investment. So I think Aberdeen does a lot of good work and the officers down there are doing great work in very difficult circumstances. Would that not investment not be better placed into rehabilitation? So addressing the reason by which that young person is probably on the bike to sell drugs, to either feed their own habit or feed the habit of somebody else who's probably dealing with trauma. So I think that level of investment that we're putting into our prison systems, I'd rather put into rehabilitation and redirection. I think we haven't tried that to any real extent, and I think we'd get better outcomes than almost 7 out of 10 people who went to our prisons coming out more hardened. But that even said, we do need more guards around the place in an interventionist form. And the guards that are there at the moment, absolutely incredible job that they're taking on, but they're younger, they're inexperienced, and they're also in between police stations as well. If you think about Store Street and Prince Street and the lines between them, oftentimes you're just pushing from one division up to another division. That's a real problem. And then we have scenarios where O'Connell Bridge doesn't be safe at all.
Some people will suggest that there are areas in Dublin where you have a problem where it doesn't matter what level of investment you have because you have intergenerational crime, that crime is effectively the family business. Do you put any stock in that?
I changed the word after intergenerational to intergenerational trauma and absence of opportunity. And obviously I'm a bleeding heart liberal, but we've tried the other way. We've tried within that intergenerational trauma and intergenerational trauma, I'm sure there's also prison there, and prison hasn't addressed the issue either. I mean, so what I would look to see is how do we intervene? So if a young person actually does come within the courts, and there are potential for models coming on board as we speak, I would like to see if that person goes into a prison that was people will argue they should. Why can't they go into a recovery place? Why can't they go into prisons that are smaller, less potential for violence? They don't come out hardened. They don't come out more angry, more with a capacity to kind of increase the violence that they've done in the first place. So I'm not against detention as long as that's the state intervention in order to address the reason why that person was in there in the first place.
Final thing, Gary, what about two things rather. One is Tech saying move things like homeless services and I-Pass centres out of the city. Is there something to be said for that, that in the centre of a city where, as you say, you want people it to be residential, you want people living, you want it to be alive, not many people want to live beside a methadone clinic?
No, but that's not the purpose. So, I mean, that's a planning issue. That's a failure of the state and the planners who've enabled the situation to happen like that, where you have people with various states of vulnerability all being kind of corralled into the same place. I mean, there was a stat there last year where 10% of the homeless population in the country were living on Gardiner Street, and they're not living in homeless accommodation. They're living in the old townhouses and guest houses and being put onto the street before 9 o'clock in the morning and be told to walk around until 8 o'clock in the evening before you could come back in. That's a failure of planning. Like, I absolutely agree that we can't have all people with huge amounts of vulnerabilities in the same spot, but take that with Dublin City Council and the Department of Planning, because they're the one that's failing there.
Last thing then, because we've been getting texts along these lines all evening, and they always come in whenever this is talked about. People cite New York in the 1980s, and they say that there was a roaring success in terms of dealing with similar issues. Now, whether or not this is true, but roaring success in dealing with similar issues through the broken window approach, yeah, where you strike down hard against things like graffiti, against buildings looking decrepit, and you strike down hard against petty crime.
So what I will say is those decreases in crime in New York and during the 80s were also involved decreases in crime throughout the US for various different reasons. But I do think actually we make the city look a hell of a lot better. We improve the facade of the city. We also give outlets, more parks, more places for people to go, more football pitches and places of just general recovery. Of course we can do that, but I don't understand why that isn't done at the first place. And when we have a ranking system for local authorities at the moment in relation to how many social homes they're building, I also wouldn't mind seeing a ranking system for how much local authorities are making the places that they're in charge of look good, look pretty, have places where we can sit. I mean, that's where a city needs, but that requires central investment and a government willing to invest in it.
One final thing. I lied when I said there was two final things. What's your thoughts on the GPO? Have you skin in this game? Do you care?
Massive skin in this game, and I care vehemently. In fact, I'm going back to the Dáil now to speak on it. The idea of having a cultural space in the GPO surrounded by offices and retail is a lax ambition. The GPO is about 3,000 square metres tall. Why can't we have that as a museum of the Republic? Absolutely factoring in.
My God, it's a lot of space to give to one museum.
No, if you look at the museums in Riga, if you look at the museums in Amsterdam, they're actually bigger, and it can, like, holds the history of those two areas. The contested histories, the difficult histories. It's places where people go. I want people in O'Connell Street, but I want to give them a reason to go. We have retail spaces, we have offices aplenty. I want to give some people a unique experience.
So would you clear out the retail that's currently in the building? Because there's currently a lot of it in there.
Yeah, so once the GPO started to remove, I actually do think it leaves an opportunity for having proper museum spaces, cultural spaces, having a huge museum, having a big museum of this Republic. We don't have a civic museum in Dublin. I mean, what about a city that lacks ambition? Now, I obviously would like it for Dublin. I think we have enough history, but I'm willing to share it with the rest of the country.
What about the money of all this, Gary? That'll cost a fortune. That's a very valuable chunk of land to give up to a museum.
See that as an investment. Because if we have that money invested, people will go visit there. They'll spend money in the local shops around it. They'll actually go, and we can open up a few restaurants around O'Connell Street. We can have Henry Street open back up after 6 o'clock in the evening. There'll be a Victorian market up the road that'll be open. See that money as an investment and what you come back in.
Gary, thank you very much. That is Gary Gannon, who is Social Democrats TD for Dublin Centre. We'll give you Dublin Central, I should say.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.